You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This podcast is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, I know you're about to head down south for your surf trip. Is your ankle still bothering you?
A little bit. Some days are better than others.
Well, then you'll be pleased to know that I got you a little Bon Voyage gift.
Aw.
Voyage AC's RX remedy to take down there with you. You just roll it on wherever the pain is, and it's like magic. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't used it on my knee, and the pain that was always just kind of there in the background was just gone, erased.
Aw, honey, thanks. And wow, it smells amazing.
Yeah, Voyage AC is your destination for all these amazing self-care products. So many gorgeous candles and other wonderful gifts like beautiful diffusers, exciting perfumes, and luxurious face and body products. So, hon, how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VoyageEtcie.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything you buy.
Right. All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
This episode is being sponsored by Cute Booty Lounge.
Hey, hun. Pajogger booty.
Excuse me? What's a pajogger booty?
It's just the most comfortable, sexy jogger made out of pajama material.
Ah.
It's freaking brilliant. And see how they fit?
Oh, yeah. I see how they fit.
I knew you would like it. Cute Booty Lounge is made right here in the USA by women and for women. The company is incredible, female and minority owned. And they have these super cute patented scrunch butt pockets on their leggings. There is a cute booty style for everyone. Cute Booty Lounge has you covered. Embrace your body. Love your booty.
And to make it even sweeter, head to cutebootylounge.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
It's such a great deal.
Yep, get yours now. Head to cutebootylounge.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order. Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hi, as Scott said, this is on my nightstand, and today I'm going to be reading from the book Group, How One Therapist and a Circle of Strangers Saved My Life by Christy Tate. This is a Reese's Book Club pick. That's Reese Witherspoon. Christy Tate is a Chicago-based writer and essayist. She has been published in the New York Times, Modern Love. I love her Modern Love piece. You should check it out. The Rumpus, The Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, McSweeney's Internet Tendency, Eastern Iowa Review, and elsewhere, KSA Lehman, who was also a guest on the show, selected her essay Promised Lands as the winner of the New Ohio Review's 2019 nonfiction contest. And Christy is also an upcoming guest on our show, so look out for her episode. The chapter I'm reading from is Chapter 5 of Group. Christy, why don't you tell the group what you ate yesterday, Dr. Rosen said. No. My voice ricocheted off the walls. I jumped out of my chair and hopped around in the middle of the circle like I was trying to put out a fire. No, 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 please, Dr. Rosen, don't make me. I begged like a child. Not this, please not this. I'd never acted like this before, but no one had ever asked me point blank about my food. Jesus, woman, if you're going to act like that, then you have to tell us, Carlos said. We hadn't even been talking about food. We'd been talking about the medical bills for Rory's ferret. I was 1 month into treatment. In 4 Tuesday sessions, the group and I had gone through all the getting-to-know-you rituals. They knew I came to the group because I was struggling with relationships. They knew about the bulimia. They knew about me and Dr. Ruth. But this? Telling the 7 people in front of me what I'd eaten the day before? Impossible. My eating disorder was no longer the stuff of a Lifetime movie. I didn't go from drive-thru to drive-thru eating and puking. But I ate like a weirdo. Exhibit A. Every single morning, I ate a slice of mozzarella cheese rolled up in a cabbage leaf, along with a bowl of microwaved apple pieces that I poured skim milk over and ate with a spoon. Apple Jacks, I called them. This had been my breakfast for almost 3 years straight. Never a sausage McMuffin, chocolate croissant, or granola bar. If I couldn't have my secret special breakfast alone in the privacy of my kitchen, then I skipped breakfast. This breakfast was safe. It never, ever beckoned me toward a binge. My law school friends saw my odd lunch every day because I couldn't hide it. A can of tuna and spring water over a bed of green cabbage doused with French's classic yellow mustard. They justifiably made fun of me for how disgusting and unimaginative it was. A normal person would never eat this lunch more than once. I ate it every single day. At lunchtime, the other students would saunter across campus for subs loaded with pink and white meats and cheeses, dripping with chunky jardinet sauce, while I sat in the back of the student lounge eating like a rabbit at a ballpark, prepping for the next class. They didn't know that before I got into recovery, my relationship with food led me to crouch face to toilet after most meals. The body memory of losing control of my appetite and ending up literally in the toilet haunted me. I almost met my ignominious death in college. You could say a lot about my lunch. It was flavorless, deprivational, and guaranteed to induce heartburn. But it kept me from losing control. Could those fancy subs do that? For dinner, I ate sauteed ground turkey mixed with broccoli and carrots or cauliflower and a tablespoon of Parmesan cheese. Every now and then I'd mix it up and it would use a pound of ground chicken instead of turkey. Once I tried lamb, but it was greasy and made my apartment smell gamey. When I got into recovery for bulimia, I picked a handful of foods that seemed quote-unquote safe because I'd never binged on them. I didn't have the courage to veer from my safe foods. The binging popped up everywhere else, though. That was the secret rotting inside me. Every night for dessert, I'd have 3 or 4 red apples, often more, sometimes as many as 8. When I hinted at my apple consumption to my sponsor, Katie, back in Texas, she assured me that as long as I didn't eat white sugar, it didn't matter if I ate a bushel of apples 3 times a day. White sugar was the devil's poison to many people in recovery. It would lead you straight to a death by donuts. Katie gave me permission to keep apples on the safe foods list, no matter how many bushels I went through per week. I spent more on apples than I spent on cable, gas, and transportation combined. Apples were the reason I didn't have a roommate. I was terrified of being found out. But I also couldn't imagine eating only a single apple every night. "Tell us," Rory said, her voice soft and gentle. I squeezed my eyes shut and spoke fast, like an auctioneer at a cattle sale. Cheese, cabbage, apple, milk, cabbage, tuna, mustard and orange, chicken, carrots and spinach. I paused, scared to go on. I couldn't imagine telling them about the apples. But keeping the secret suddenly felt unbearable. They would say I had no recovery, and I hadn't properly worked the steps, and that I was a failure. Inwardly, I screamed hysterically, but somehow I blurted out. Then I ate 6 more apples. Hard to say which shame burned hotter, eating half a dozen apples after dinner, or that the villain of my food diary was the innocuous darling of the produce section. I'd sat in hundreds of 12-step meetings listening to people report bizarre and appalling things they did with cherry cheesecake, black licorice, scallop potatoes. And then there was me with a bag of apples on my lap. The previous night's binge had been routine. I ate 1 apple right after dinner, and I swore I was done eating for the day. But there was a stirring in my belly. Was I still hungry? Was it a somatic signal that I needed more calories? I had no idea. A woman I knew from recovery always said that if you crave food after dinner, you should sit on your bed until it passed. I tried it, sitting cross-legged atop my comforter, listening to the sounds on the street below. But the craving for apples drew me off the bed and into the kitchen, where I grabbed another from the fridge drawer. I ate another apple, fast, like maybe it wouldn't count if I ate it in under 60 seconds. Then the shame, the buzzword I'd learned in group, of speed-eating an apple alone in my apartment crested, so I ate 2 more. My belly was tender to the touch. What the fuck was I doing? I didn't know, but I ate 2 more Red Delicious. When I finally crawled under the covers to sleep, the sharp edges of the apple bits I'd failed to chew properly poked the edges of my stomach. Acid burned my throat. How in the world could I call myself in recovery around food when I did this to myself every night? How would anyone love someone who ate like me? I've been doing this for years. How would it ever stop? Dr. Rosen asked if I wanted help. I nodded slowly, terrified he would suggest I eat bison burgers and artichoke pizza or a pint of Ben and Jerry's every night like a normal lonely person, or worse, that I stopped eating apples. Call Rory every night and tell her what you ate. Rory met my eyes with a smile so kind, I had to look away or I would cry. Like Dr. Rosen's Mazel Tov from my class rank, head-on kindness warmed my solar plexus like a heat lamp and made me tear up. Having my ritual revealed at last in detail was like having a layer of skin removed. The defining feature of my eating was secrecy. In kindergarten, I snuck cookies from the snack bin. Thanksgiving weekend in junior year of high school, I snuck ate the top layer off a pecan pie. I stole food from every roommate I ever had. Even in recovery, I let go of the vomiting, but I kept the secrecy and some version of the binging. "I'm not trying to keep you from eating apples," Dr. Rosen said. "Eat as many as you want. The apples aren't killing you. The secrecy is. And the point is," he leaned close and lowered his voice, "if you can let this group into your relationship with food, you will be closer to intimate relationships. You'll start with Rory." I looked at Rory and imagined telling her about every morsel I put in my mouth. My whole body clenched, mostly with fear, but there was also hope. Here was a chance to be known inside the messiness of my eating, something I'd never truly let myself have before. It wasn't a total surprise that my food stuff and relationship stuff sprouted from the same broken parts of me. What surprised me was that Dr. Rosen understood that. Paula D. hadn't seen it, and I was actively vomiting back then. "Will calling Rory cure my apple binges?" "You don't need a cure. You need a witness." I wanted a cure. Apples were expensive. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.